Hello there, it is Jennifer Bronsnick, and I want to welcome you to our week number 7, email number 7, which is going to include, this week we haven't talked a lot about our parenting journey, because a lot of this program is really focusing on you and self-care and really getting clear with, you know, what you want out of life. But for this meditation, it's a guided image meditation. We're going to reflect back on our own childhood and also reflect on the life path of our children. And so, you know, as always, if anything comes up for you that feels uncomfortable during the meditation, you can open your eyes and come back into the room in present moment. And of course, I'm always here to support you, to, you know, chat about anything that does come up. And I hope that you find that you can, you know, from this meditation, gain a deeper awareness of yourself and your child or children. So let's get started. So just to prepare, I want you to take a moment and just think back about your own childhood and that process of going to school and growing up and the friendships and the relationships with your parents. Think about what were the really great memories that come into mind. But also the memories that bring up some sort of negative feelings as well. Just so you have the whole picture. And just noticing that it wasn't perfect. Your parents made mistakes. And just take a moment to bring compassion to this memory. And just the acknowledgement that you were doing your best. And so were your parents. Based on all the information that they had. And just take a few moments to remember this time. Feeling compassion, safe. And at peace. And just settle in. And feel free to close your eyes and just let your body relax even deeper, taking note of your breath. Noticing that you're fully relaxed and breathing easily from your belly, just like a newborn baby, how their bellies just expand and contract. Now imagine yourself in the maternity ward of a hospital. And the nurse has just handed you your newborn baby. Take a few moments to absorb what has happened. And realize that this baby is actually a part of you. Observe the baby closely. Noticing your reactions as you observe its face, hands, fingers, toes, skin, hair. And just drink in the sight of this precious, perfect child. Now, thanking the nurse and the doctors for their care, you take your baby home. And once you've come home, you take some time to study this newborn creature, noticing its appearance. Maybe he or she has some hair, and her very large but fragile head and neck. Soft skin. The total helplessness. And just notice any likeness to you. And reflect on how you might have looked when you came home from the hospital like this. Take note of your feelings as you look upon the tiny bundle in your care. Be aware of your demeanor and the language you use as you speak to your baby. Then, when your baby goes to sleep, you go to sleep as well. When you wake up, you find that 3 years have passed. You go into your child's room and notice how he or she has grown. Aside from any physical changes, observe any more subtle signs of the passage of time. By now, your child has a good grasp on your language, how to communicate. And you listen closely to every word spoken. And just imagine what your 3-year-old would say. Now you decide to take your 3-year-old out on an outing. And the two of you take a walk to the park or a country setting. Watch how your child reacts to the world. What questions do they ask? And how do you respond? As you interact with your child, try to assess the personality traits you observe. Your child will have drawn some of its character traits from you, but notice how some traits may play off against yours as well. And again, just watch how you tailor your demeanor and the language you use, now that your child is able to communicate with you. All this fresh air makes you both very hungry, and you decide to eat. It's a pleasure to watch your child eat with such gusto. And then pleasantly weary from a long day's jaunt, the two of you return home and go to sleep. When you next awaken, your child is 6 and attending school. On this afternoon, you've agreed to help teach your child to ride a bike. After returning home from school, your 6-year-old pulls out this little bike for a lesson. And for a while, you run alongside or behind the bike, and you hold it upright as your child pedals. And it's exhausting. And you find yourself breathing very hard to keep up. And at certain moments, you let go of the bicycle for an instant, and you watch your child pedal ahead. You observe that he or she is either toppling over or putting feet down to keep from falling. And just notice whether you feel confidence and hope each time you see this, or maybe apprehension and pity. Finally, on one occasion, you let go, and your child wobbles uncertainly, but rides all the way to the end of the block. And you watch the little bicycle travel to the corner, stop, wheel around, and come back, all under your child's control. Your child is exuberant, and it's a great moment for the two of you. Although you now realize that riding a bike is one of those things your child will no longer need your help to do. Tired from all your running, you walk into the house and lie down to rest. Reflect upon your feelings about the fact that your child has mastered this new skill before you fall asleep. This time when you arise, your child has attained the age of 16 years, and you see dramatic physical changes in your teenager's body and some strong emotions as well. Your child has entered the emotional world of adults and met his or her first love. And tonight, your 16-year-old is going on a dinner date with this special person. There's a lot of excitement over the preparations. And your child turns to you for suggestions on clothing and how to behave. As you offer your advice, notice your feelings about your child and this rite of adolescence. A conflict develops over the issue of what time you expect your teen to be home. For a dinner date, you suggest that 10 o'clock is not unrealistic. However, your child lobbies strongly for midnight. The argument threatens to become hurtful. But the two of you work out an agreeable compromise. Then your teenager leaves the house for the big date. Reflect upon your first love and the trials of growing up. And think about what is happening to your child at this age. And what changes have occurred since the ages 3 and 6. Now just make an assessment without any judgment. What kind of job do you think you've done as a parent? Whether your child is still 3, 6, or 16. What interests have you noticed and skills and talents that this child of yours possesses? Is your child introverted or more of an extrovert? How did that happen? Perhaps some aspects of your child's personality have developed despite your best wishes and outside of your control. How did this happen? But you're able to release it and trust. Trust in the divine plan. And just taking a moment to feel compassion and acceptance for your child, just as they are. And for yourself as a parent, and acknowledging this very difficult role. While you've been thinking, your teenager has been enjoying a fine evening out. And not surprisingly, they get home a little later than the time you two agreed upon. However, no harm has been done. And you issue a friendly warning and send your teenager happily to bed. Now that your child is safely home and asleep, you acknowledge that this has only been an image, a projection of your own fears, strengths, and desires. And reflect on what you've seen. Your child, this creation, is a separate life that may share some attributes of yours, but are really their own person and here to experience their own journey on this planet. And that you don't have to be in control. or protect them from all their mistakes and challenges. And that feels peaceful. When you've considered your role as a parent to your satisfaction, you can gently open your eyes when you're ready and come back into the room. And bringing back what you have learned with you into this present moment. Namaste.